I step out of the car and onto the curb, the clack of steel-tipped stilettos on pavement. The sound sends a crackle into the still air of 1:10 a.m, like a radio has suddenly been turned on between stations. A hiss of interference, and the distant sound of garbled voices speaking in foreign tongues. I look back into the window of the Black Morris Tale. He is leaning across the seat, an earnest smile on a battered face, one front tooth chipped, dark hair greased back off a furrowed forehead. Christ, he's eager, I think. And then a dark wave sweeps through me. Resignation, boredom, something close to madness tapping on the corner of my skull. I know what it is. It's the feeling of being trapped. I want to get out of whatever it is I've got myself into, but I don't know how. I'm caught up in a current that's taking me down. He's saying something, but I can't make out what it is. The sound of a radio is coming in louder, a sudden burst of an orchestra tuning up. But I hear myself talking back to him clearly, saying,
Half past three.
It seems to please him. His grin deepens along with the lines on his forehead, and he says something else, pointing at the side of the road. It's lost in the hiss of static, a sound like a toilet being flushed. Now he's leaning back into his seat, putting his hand on the gear stick, pulling away up the avenue. Red taillights under the trees when nobody sees. A sudden eerie note rises up around me, like a church organ maybe, but distorted, echoing around the trees and the empty road. I shiver involuntarily. It's been hot, stifling all day, and I've got on my new summer dress, but suddenly I feel a chill wind blowing up from nowhere. The dress that Baby bought me, I think, and the thinking of that name prickles out the aches in my body. The back of my neck and my right arm feel heavy, pain beating a dull tattoo through my blood, like a finger running down a plastic comb. I become aware of a cold wetness in my knickers, a fresher pain down there too, a reminder of where the man in the car has just been, where too many other people have already been before. These thoughts run into my mind unbidden and I don't want them. Memories swirl that need to be blotted out, lest those fingers start drumming louder on the side of my skull. The sparks of madness start to flare. I'm standing on the corner of this long, wide avenue, next to a tube station that's all shut up for the night. For some reason, I can't read the lettering over the door, can only make out an Art Nouveau swirl of letters. But I feel like I know this place. I've been here at this time of night, but too many times before. The station stares back at me through blank, empty windows. Silent and squat, it sits back on the pavement, detached, like whatever else is going on around here. This is surely none of its business. I stroll past it, hearing the clack of my feet and the strange music, that distorted organ motif and the crackles of radio waves, a sound like bubbles being blown underwater. I turn around the corner, drawn towards it, and realise the music is coming from the building diagonally across the road from me. A high tower like a castle's keep, made out of red brick. Tiny little windows all the way up it, but just one light on, one yellow light right at the top. The spook symphony is coming from the window, getting louder and louder. I suddenly think of a lighthouse, swimming its beam across a dark and choppy sea, and the vision fills me with fear. Like I've suddenly seen my death coming towards me, the light across the water luring me to the rocks. I turn away, catching my breath, clutching my handbag tighter. I realise whatever plans I've made for this night are going to fall through. The boy I was expecting to meet here is not going to come. He was using me like everyone else, I think, laughing at me. How stupid I am. How easy. I hurry away from the tower, back towards the tube and onto the avenue. I want to block the music from my head, but it swims around me, laps at the corners of my brain, and I can't think straight. The man in the Morris 10? Was he supposed to be coming back for me, or was I just spinning him a line? I don't remember, but I can't wait here. I don't want to be in this part of town with with another me waiting under a fruit tree. Yet I can't go home either. Bad things lurk there too. More beatings, more fuckings, more petty humiliations. All the things I wanted to be flashed through my mind. A mother, a wife, a spotless kitchen in a nice house, an embroidery in a frame hanging over the fire saying, home sweet home. A memory of my childhood and my sister Pat. All the things I never will be and never have had. Everything I tried not to think about, all coming down fast to the refrain of a ghostly keyboard requiem. And suddenly, all the sounds disappear. Headlights are coming towards me up the avenue. A long dark car gliding slowly along, crawling beneath the trees, as if in slow motion. This is it, I realise. And somehow the knowledge sets me free of my anguished thoughts, fills me instead with the numbness of acceptance. This is the beam from the lighthouse, the lights across the water calling me home. I pat my hair, which is short and neat, and recently cut in the style of an actress I had admired. I smooth down the front of my blue and white summer dress. This is how I look on my last night on Earth, and I step forwards towards my fate, lean into the windows as it slowly winds itself down. There are two people in there, but their faces are lost in the shadows. I know that the nearest one is speaking to me, but all I can hear is the hiss of radio interference. The music is starting up again, but it no longer disturbs me. I'm numb and I know where I'm going. My thoughts and my body are no longer mine. My hair and my dress are no longer mine. I get into the back of the car and it pulls away, a U-turn across the avenue, picking up speed as it heads west towards the lonely shore. A woman's voice says softly, sadly, Bobby?